Welcome to the show. Welcome to National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network. I'm Patrick Slattery, and I'm here with Mark Dankoff today. Mark, welcome to the show.
Well, there's always plenty of stuff to discuss, and trying to look at all kinds of news stories today on all kinds of different topics, so we can go in virtually any direction that you so desire and see how we do.
Okay, well, we will go in virtually every direction. First, I just want to mention that this is on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and we're in the midst of a pledge drive. This is what we have to do. We can't rely exclusively on our commercial sponsors. We do need to do a pledge drive. You can go to the website, republicbroadcasting.org, and there's a donations tab. You can click on that, and you can donate that way. Alternatively, you can call the donation number. You can do this over the phone. It is 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. That's 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. I'm sure you could find that information on the website as well. So we needed to get that taken care of. Let's now go on to the very exciting nationalbugle.com, which you've been putting all sorts of fascinating stories up here. Where would you like to go first, Mark?
Well, I suppose we could begin with the Khashoggi tragicomedy just for a moment. I was on Press TV again discuss the president's response to this whole business of the Khashoggi disappearance. One of the interesting things is that, of course, it was being put out for a time by the Saudis that their lead theory as to what had happened to Khashoggi was that he had been a victim of quote-unquote rogue killers, and the president
who had a free passageway into the Saudi embassy in Turkey.
Yeah, right.
Of course, would have no security. There would be no security there.
Right. So we have the president and Pompeo, at least for a time, trying to play along with this for a little bit and to play some games over it. The latest report, which is out there with a number of news agencies and Press Television Iran covered it, is that the Saudis, we are told, are getting prepared to admit that Khashoggi died during interrogation. Now, the amazing thing is,
an interrogation gone wrong.
An interrogation guy goes in there to get some copies of some divorce papers so he can legally marry his Turkish fiance in Istanbul, and he ends up being interrogated.
Literally interrogated to death.
Yeah, that's right. And the Saudis are apparently, to put it out, they're going to admit that he died during interrogation, an interrogation that took place, quote, minus the proper clearance and transparency necessary, unquote. So there you have it, folks. Torture, when you have proper clearance and transparency, torturing a citizen to death who comes into your into his own country's consulate in order to get some copies of legal divorce papers so he can remarry. This is what's about to surface, according to a number of news agencies. Now, this could get very, very interesting because the latest word that's being put out there by Press TV and a number of other agencies is that there's a major conference that was due to take place in Riyadh that involves some major investors in the Saudi economy. This includes our usual high-tech friends from Google, for example, just as is one group that was in attendance. And a number of these groups have now pulled out of participation in this investment conference that the Saudis were sponsoring that involved all kinds of wonderful things that were allegedly possible in Saudi Arabia in exchange for the usual involvement of these foreign investors and high-tech companies and so forth. And at this particular juncture, it would appear that this Khashoggi incident caused enough blowback that it'll be fascinating to watch whether or not it ultimately blows over after a period of posturing on all sides in the media, or whether there are longer-term implications in the Saudi relationship with the United States and the West that will develop out of this whole situation. So who knows, but we're keeping an eye on that. And clearly the Saudis, at least in the short term, are paying a somewhat stiff price in terms of blowback, political blowback, international credibility, which was already at an all-time low for them, I think. And whether or not that's ultimately going to impact them financially or not remains to be seen, because obviously they are not free of financial leverage when it comes to the United States and the West, especially with this whole business of the petrodollar, since we've been dealing with that reality since Nixon Kissinger days in 1971.
Okay. Now, Khashoggi was not exactly a household name in the West, even though he apparently had association with the Washington Post. It seems he did more writing in Arabic than in English. But I know you've been looking into this more than I have, but over the past couple of weeks since this story broke, there's been a few things that have seemed to be coming to light. One, he is, you have a headline up here on National Bugle: Khashoggi was no critic of the Saudi regime. He has some criticism for the crown prince, but basically that he's trying to do the right thing the wrong way. Khashoggi is somebody who apparently favors Sharia law. But here's the other thing. 20 years ago, or early 1990s, wasn't he friends with Osama bin Laden, or had at least their fellow Saudis? Didn't they have some sort of connection? And during the 1990s, didn't he have an association where he interviewed or met with Osama bin Laden? And isn't there some speculation that he may know something about Saudi and potentially Israeli involvement in 9/11?
One has to wonder, while that's not stated in this article that you refer to, in terms of the possible Khashoggi knowledge of 9/11 from an insider's perspective, it would not surprise me, especially since the author of this Consortium News article, who's a gentleman by the name of Asad Abu Khalil. For the listeners, we can inform them that he's a Lebanese-American professor of political science, California State University in Stanislaus. He is the author of the Historical Dictionary of Lebanon, 1998, Bin Laden, Islam, and America's New War on Terrorism, 2002. And Mr. Abu Khalil runs something called the Battle for Saudi Arabia. That was his last book, The Battle for Saudi Arabia, 2004. And then this last sentence indicates that he runs the popular blog, The Angry Arab News Service. So this is his biography, as it's
posted. Oh, okay. I'm familiar with the Angry Arab News Service. Okay.
Well, this is the gentleman who runs that, and he has a fascinating take on the real history of Khashoggi. And part of that history does involve a relationship with Osama bin Laden that goes back, of course, to a long, long time ago. And as we told here by the author of the piece, Khashoggi fought with Osama bin Laden and promoted the cause of the Mujahideen during the era of anti-communism and the promotion of fanatical jihad in Afghanistan and elsewhere.
Yeah, and just I could interject for those who aren't as old as we are, don't have the memory. The Mujahideen, that was the name of the jihadists, the Islamic fighters in Afghanistan in the 1980s that were backed by the Reagan administration, including Osama bin Laden. They were fighting against a Soviet-backed Afghan government.
Exactly, and when you start looking at the whole history of the relationship of the United States government with this so-called Mujahideen, and the relationship of the American government with all kinds of Sunni Wahhabic organizations, our relationship with them rises and falls on whether or not we need them or think we need them in any given circumstance that we face, which is why in one context we might see them as good guys, in another context as bad guys, which if you've been following this for as many years as we have, gets extremely confusing. But the long and the short of it is that it illustrates in the American relationship, both with bin Laden and the Mujahideen in Afghanistan, and subsequently with this back-and-forth relationship with which the U.S. has had with al-Qaeda and al-Nusra and ISIS and all these other Sunni Wahhabic elements in places like in Libya and more particularly Syria, it underscores that there is a functional, practical utilitarianism that underscores American foreign policy. It tends to shift and change in alliance and in nuance and in up or down and plus and minus with financial support and military support, depending on the whims of the moment. So at any rate, we go back to this whole business then of Khashoggi, who fought with bin Laden and promoted the cause of the Mujahideen. The Washington Post's David Ignatius, the author of this consortium news piece, tells us, is one of the people that wants to embellish this by implying that Khashoggi was an embedded reporter, as if bin Laden's army would invite independent journalists to report on their war efforts. The entire project of covering the Afghan Mujahideen and promoting them in the Saudi press was the work of the chief of Saudi intelligence, Prince Turki, T-U-R-K-I, Khashoggi's principal patron, Prince sponsor. So when you read through, again, this whole history of this gentleman as Asad Abu Khalil underscores it today, we're looking at a guy, meaning Khashoggi, who had a long, long relationship with the Saudi royal family, whose journalistic career basically depended upon the friendly sponsorship of certain friendly Saudi princes and patrons, and that apparently what may have finally caused his situation to become suspect where the Saudis were concerned is this is where Qatar comes in, and apparently that going back again a long, long time in the Saudi relationship with the Muslim Brotherhood, for example, going back to a time many, many years ago when the Saudi regime backed the Muslim Brotherhood against Nasser in Egypt, that there was a time when the Saudi foreign policy was particularly favorable to the Muslim Brotherhood. And we are told that in terms of Khashoggi, that his Islamist sympathies with Turkey and the Muslim Brotherhood or Ikhwan were unmistakable. Forgotten or little known in the West, the author tells us, is that during the Cold War, the Saudis sponsored, funded, and nurtured the Muslim Brotherhood as a weapon against the progressive secular camp led by Egypt, Gamal Abdel Nasser. We just mentioned that. Ikhwan controlled the Saudi educational system, raising Saudi students to admire the Brotherhood. But September 11th changed the Saudi calculus. The rulers wanted a scapegoat for their role in sponsoring Islamist fanaticism, and the Ikhwan was the perfect target. That made Khashoggi suspect as well. So that was one issue that is raised here by Mr. Abu Khalil in this very piece for Consortium News. But then even more damning toward the end of the article is what Asad Abu Khalil tells us, and that is that recent articles in the Saudi press indicated that the regime might move against Khashoggi. He had lost his patrons, but in this particular case, Khashoggi continued to be backed by these Ikhwan or Muslim Brotherhood supporters in the form of the Qatari regime and the Turkish government. Now, there's a writer in Okaz, O-K-A-Z, which is a daily in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, that accused Khashoggi recently of meeting with the Emir of Qatar at the Four Seasons Hotel in New York and of having ties to, quote-unquote, regional and international intelligence services. If true, says Abu Khalil, may have sealed his fate, Qatar is now the number one enemy of the Saudi regime, arguably worse than Iran. So in this particular case, Khashoggi historically was a benefactor of the Saudi princes. He was basically an establishment Saudi journalist from a Saudi perspective, but the information that is contained here on this change in grace as it relates to the Muslim Brotherhood and specifically to Turkey and Qatar specifically might be the real reason why he had this sudden disappearance and we presume death in the Saudi consulate there in Istanbul.
You know, I used to teach foreign policy at the university level, and this all makes my head spin.
The alliances change constantly, don't they? And those of us in the West, including me, who don't speak Arabic, and I don't speak Farsi except for about words of taxi language that I used years ago to get around in Tehran when I was a young person just floating around over there, we don't understand the nuances of these organizations and movements and figures and the constantly changing influx character of these relationships and associations and alliances. So if we are relying on people like David Ignatius of the Washington Post to interpret Khashoggi for us and the type of journalist that Khashoggi was in a line that is being sung by all of these Western establishment media types who don't know Arabic, or most of them don't, and who are not Arabic specialists, were likely to be misled in regard to what is specifically going on that explains a certain circumstance. And this is where some guy like Assad Abu Khalil comes in very handily to those of us who are at the mercy of these linguistic and theological and political nuances from that region. And as I've was reading through this thing for the first time today, my head was spinning.
Right. And David Ignatius, I mean, he's somebody, he's a big shot with the Washington Post. And looking at him, I had suspected he might be Jewish, but apparently he's half Armenian. He's not Jewish, but he's half Armenian. And sometimes, you know, Armenians, they're not really Semitic people, but they're from the same general region. Yeah, David Ignatius isn't necessarily the best source for things. I mean, historically, he's been on the wrong side of a lot of things. Well, we're going to be coming up on the break in a minute or so. But one thing that, even if we don't speak Arabic, that we can keep on top of is what's going on in America, in the Trump administration. And so the United States alliance with Israel and Saudi Arabia has been so massive. And so what I want to ask you about next is, after we come back from the breaks, is how to read the tea leaves on what this, I mean, we might not really understand, many of us might not really understand the ins and outs of Khashoggi and what he represents, but is this going to lead to a transformation, a disruption of this actually very unhealthy relationship we have with Saudi Arabia and perhaps with Israel? So that's what I want to ask you about after we come back from the break.
Very good.
Extendivite, a 7-herb combination of garlic, cayenne, hawthorn, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle. Extendivite is designed to strengthen the heart and arteries and help the body heal itself. Doctors are not able to explain the improvements they are seeing in their patients' health who are taking Extendivite. People who once needed more pills are now taking less and getting better. Due to the unexplainable improvements in their patients' health, more doctors are calling to order Extendivite for themselves. Help Extendivite make your doctor a believer. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-9255.
1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Attention RBN listeners. Dr. Ignatius Piazza, founder of Frontsight Firearms Training, and Fate have come together to allow RBN to run another fundraiser till the end of the year. We didn't really expect this opportunity, but thankfully, it's here and running as you hear this. We've set a goal of 500 donations by the end of the year, which averages around 6 per day, 7 days a week. When you realize all the folks listening to RBN all hours of the day and night, we think our goal is realistic and extremely critical to keep RBN on the air. If everybody listening will seriously assess their ability with firearms and then take advantage of this opportunity, we feel our goal is very conservative. Please take the time to look over FrontSight's website to get an idea of an amazing facility and the world-class training that's going on there. If this interests you, you likely will have like-minded friends that would like to know. Tell them. If for some reason some listeners are not personally interested, consider sons and daughters, close friends, nieces or nephews, top valued employees, inform club members, share the opportunity with police and fire departments. It's not too early to plan Christmas presents for special people. This fundraiser has come at an extremely critical time for RBN because the dire need for equipment upgrades. We're running on the spare tire currently with no money to fix a flat, and the fuel gauge is bouncing on E. This is one of the most valuable ways you can help RBN financially because you get Commander lifetime membership value that is 50 times your donation and can be passed on forever. How many times during life do you get to leave a legacy? See more details and contact info on our webpage, republicbroadcasting.org, and thank you.
We are back, National Bugle Radio, on the Republic Broadcasting Network, which is in the midst of a fundraiser. And you know something? This, the information that you get, it doesn't come free. I mean, it's not easy to put all this together, and nobody's getting rich out of this. You're not getting rich, are you?
Me? Certainly I am. I have absolutely no financial stress whatsoever.
That's right. And so, and, you know, RBN is putting this on. They're not charging us the way some networks charge their hosts. And if you want to be able to get this information, you got to support RBN. Well, so let's look at the tea leaves. Is this Khashoggi business going to impact the official American relationship with Saudi Arabia? You probably heard President Trump say, well, the king told me that he was very emphatic that this was just rogue agents or something like that. What do you think is going to come of this?
My impression of this is that, of course, the troubles in that country have been brewing for a long time. Brewing for a long time because it seems to me that you have something of the same political dynamics that arguably were there in pre-revolutionary Iran during the Pahlavi regime, which is a situation I know more about than I do the Saudi circumstance. But nonetheless, the Saudis clearly have been going downhill in international opinion for a long time. This war that they've been conducting in Yemen with American backing has simply been absolutely despicable. The machinations that they and the Israelis have been up to in Syria, we've talked about that many times on this show. These are also criminal activities on their behalf. And there's been a lot of publicity over many years about the way that they deal with dissidents, their relationship with their female constituency in Saudi Arabia, the kinds of things that they do to repress political dissent among the Shia minority in Saudi that nonetheless has a majority status, as I understand it, in this eastern province of Saudi Arabia, where their oil fields are located. So there have been a lot of things brewing there in that country for a long period of time. And it seems, once again, that the United States has gotten itself into a situation where it would seem that our entire foreign policy, in the Middle East especially, is linked to two very, very, very bad and criminal regimes. Clearly, Netanyahu's Israel is the one that I'm referring to. The Saudi regime is the other. And as you watch the relationship between Israel and Saudi in the region, some of the cooperative efforts in criminal activities that they've been conducting there for quite some period of time, it makes our own position especially tenuous because of the obvious character of the petrodollar. I'm not an economist, more of a historian than an economist, certainly, but in 1971, as many of us are aware, the United States moved off of the gold standard. It had been the case prior to that time, from the Bretton Woods Agreement onward, that the United States dollar would, of course, supplant the British pound as the world's reserve currency, and that there was a certain amount of gold backing all of these Federal Reserve notes. It could be, and the notes could be redeemed for gold and all of this sort of thing. But in 1971, that changed. Mr. Nixon and Mr. Kissinger undertook an arrangement that facilitated an agreement with the Saudi Arabians that the American dollar would no longer be tied to an objective gold standard, but it would be tied to oil transactions in the Middle East, that everyone buying and selling oil would have to do with the American dollar, with the full approval of the Saudis and all of their underlings at OPEC. So this, with this arrangement in mind, we now have a situation where the entire, not only the entire American foreign policy in the Middle East, but it would seem that the entire position of the American empire is the world's leading kid in the block, is tied, obviously, to the status of the petrodollar. And when you have organizations like BRICS, Brazil, Russia, India, China, and South Africa, for those who are not familiar with what BRICS means as an acronym, this is an obvious attempt on the part of some major significant players in the world to create a more multipolar world and to get countries away from the basically being tyrannized by the monopoly of the American petrodollar and the Western banking system as it has existed since the Bretton Woods arrangement. And with that in mind, with all of those things that Putin and the Chinese in particular are undertaking to try and diversify their own situations with their transactions with other countries where currencies are concerned, then you have all of these internal contradictions with the Saudi regime itself and the American support with that regime that could create a set of circumstances that could cause the American empire at some point to go bye-bye.
And we'll have that's to not all that. That out of the break.
Yes.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. plus magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to aroutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at aroutfitting.com.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. This product is superb. I have been taking it for about a year now, and I can feel my cardiovascular system run like a Swiss watch. I definitely recommend this product for anyone that has high cholesterol, high blood pressure, and heart palpitations, A+. It's potent, but it works. I have been waking up for the past 3 years with numb hands, and a week into using Extendivite, my numb hands seem to have cleared up. My circulation was off, and now it's back on track. So I'm happy. I feel so energized, and I have my husband on it now. My mother-in-law has cholesterol problems, so I bought her a bottle as well. Thank you so much. Love the product. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
And so you were just kind of wrapping up the petrodollar angle of all of this.
Yes, and also maybe to say something about the tea leaves. You know, when you read the tea leaves improperly or just flat out badly, other things obviously can happen and do happen. And I go back to the Islamic Revolution in Iran. Going back to the late 70s, of course, it is amazing, and there have been all kinds of position papers through reputable foreign policy journals and so forth that have looked retrospectively at that particular event and this recurring question of how could Western intelligence have gotten it that wrong? How could there have been that much myopia on the part of the American intelligence community and American policymakers as to what was happening in the country? Well, of course, that's well beyond anything we can cover here, especially in this segment. But keep in mind, of course, that if you come across things on the net, Charles Kurtzman has an outstanding PDF file out there through the University of North Carolina. It's entitled The Gulm Protests and the Coming of the Iranian Revolution, 1975 and 1978. The point is that in Gulm, which was and is a center of Islamic Shia theological education and worship and piety in that country, there were some things transpiring at the same time in the way of unrest, at the same time that some of these leftist Marxist groups like the Mujahideen-e-Khalq, the MEK, were operating and undertaking acts of urban terrorism that were directed against American defense contractors that were working for the Pahlavi regime, against Americans working at the at their embassy, against some of the leading figures in the Shah's government, and so forth. And from time to time, when those things would happen, the question would arise: well, gee, is this an indication that, you know, that there's more afoot here, that there's going to be further trouble and bigger trouble down the road? And it seemed that the consensus of the American intelligence community in the mid 70s was, nah, this is all controllable, not out of hand. The Pahlavi regime is fully supported by the vast percentage of the public. The economy is in decent shape. Well, of course, within 3 or 4 years of those pronouncements, the whole thing came tumbling down like a load of bricks, which raises the question with this Khashoggi situation. Are we looking at something that's still politically recoverable for the Saudi regime and for its pals in Washington and Tel Aviv? Or are we dealing with something that is going to ignite a bigger situation that is not at all going to be manageable for anybody who is tied up in this thing and for those people in this demonic trinity of Washington, Tel Aviv, and Riyadh that are involved in a very sleazy and symbiotic relationship? So that's ultimately, I think, the question there. No one has the answer to that. But going back to the way in which the American intelligence community totally misjudged the circumstance in Iran anywhere from 3 to 5 years before it happened, we have to wonder just how much the American intelligence community today and its pals in the American news media really know about the situation in Riyadh and where it's heading.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned earlier that the international esteem of the Saudi government has been falling, and it seems that, you know, they've gotten so cynical about, you know, what people might think of them, that they're just openly aligning themselves with Israel. The defense minister meets the Israeli defense minister in public and shakes his hand. And so you've got that increasingly open alliance. And that leads me to another story that you've published, or you've placed on the nationalbugle.com website, some articles from Ron Unz. A series of articles called American Pravda. But Ron Unz, people have probably heard myself or Dr. Duke talk about him in connection with a article he wrote in 2012 on the myth of the American meritocracy, where he presents all sorts of data showing ultimately that non-Jewish whites are the most discriminated against at Harvard and other elite schools. But and he's somebody, he's of Jewish background. He graduated from Harvard and then went to Stanford, trying to get a PhD in physics, but he dropped out of Stanford as he started up some sort of Silicon Valley type of company out there, made a lot of money. So he never got his PhD, but he made a lot of money in Silicon Valley and started at publication. Is it the American Conservative?
Yes.
And he writes a lot, and he's very interesting. He's run for governor. In the 1990s, had a pretty serious run for governor of California against. Was it Duke Majan? It was a primary run against the incumbent Republican governor.
I'm going to say it was George Duke Majan, but I wouldn't want to
Other. It's one or the other of those two. But at any rate, so he's a very prominent person. Now, the article I wanted to ask you about is he has at long last taken a serious look at 9/11. Of course, he never, like many of us, never believed the official narrative. But on the other hand, never, like myself, never dove into all of the intricacies and wasn't really that – didn't care so much about how it was done, but why. And he makes the comment that in the 9/11 truth movement, there's been so much obsession about how it was done that the why or the who kind of got pushed aside. But I found this article very interesting. And even, do you think that he was reading Michael Collins Piper? Because he seems to be implying that the who was the Israelis.
Well, I found myself wondering that very thing as I've been reading Ron Unz in his recent discussions of Israel at 9/11, because it almost seemed as though the arguments raised, very fine arguments raised by my good friend, the late Michael Collins Piper, in Final Judgment, were running around in Ron Unz's mind. This was my impression as I was reading what Mr. Unz was saying in his Unz review that was winding its way into print. The interesting thing to me is that whether you're looking at something like the immigration issue, the race issue in America, where Ron, it seems to me, dips his big toe in the water by admitting that he does have a copy of one of Dr. David Duke's books, to dealing with this issue of Israel and neocons and 9/11, where all of a sudden we're reading Ron Unz, the very fine articles that he's been putting out there, referring to books like Stephen Snigowski's book, The Transparent Cabal, which is a very fine book, by the way. It came out 10 years ago. In this book, The Transparent Cabal talks about the neoconservative agenda, war in the Middle East, and the national interest of Israel. Now, interestingly enough, when you read Ron Unz discussing this whole matter of Israel and 9/11, he said that for many years after 9/11, he oddly enough paid little attention to the details of the attacks themselves. He was entirely preoccupied, he tells us, with building his content archiving software system, and with the little time I could spend on public policy matters, Unz tells us, he, Unz, was totally focused on the ongoing Iraq war disaster, as well as his terrible fears that Bush might at any moment suddenly extend the conflict to Iran. Now, with this in mind, and as you can read through some of what Ron has said on this whole issue of neocons, 9/11, the warnings of Lieutenant General Bill Odom, which I discussed here on the Republic Broadcasting Network 10 or 12 years ago, on how bad this decision was to go into Iraq, to go into the middle East with conventional forces. Unz rehearses a lot of this, but then he mentions his friendship with Alexander Cockburn of Counterpunch. And then he goes on, Unz does, to indicate his sudden acquaintance with the Mossad art student spy operation around the United States, which I had covered at RBN about 12 years ago, the Fox News multi-part series on that topic, Counterpunch's work on the Israeli angle to 9/11. He mentions Jim Raimondo's book, The Terror Enigma, which deals with 9/11 and the Israeli connection, and so forth and so on. It is very striking that Ron Unz has now reached a point to where he is bringing into play all of these arguments made by all of these various fine people over a period of 17 years that points to the Israeli angle. And it seems that Ron has been, and I'm not belittling him in any way by saying this, he's playing catch-up, as many of us have been playing catch-up with all kinds of topics that sometimes we go back and research years later and discover we'd missed a major angle on a story. This is apparently what's happened to him, and he even goes on to cite the statements of the former Italian president Francesco Cossiga in 2007, that Israel and the CIA did 9/11, and that this fact was well known, according to President Cossiga, among the various Western intelligence agencies. So this is significant stuff to me when you have all of this stuff coming to the fore from Ron Unz and all these different people he cites that I haven't even touched in his summary essay recently on 9/11. That suggests that a whole new group of people are just now beginning to awaken to what we have been talking about on this network. RBN's been carrying shows on this for many years. Michael Collins Piper had his own show on John Stadtmiller's network years ago, as I did. We were talking about that stuff then, and now we have a situation where, thankfully, people like Ron Unz at the Unz Review are publishing their takes on this, looking at all of the things we were talking about, many of us talking about 10, 12, 15 years ago. And that's winding its way into places, the American conservative counterpunch, and so forth and so on, where it would not have been that clearly delineated at one time. That, to me, is an indication that the 9/11 truth movement and those of us who have emphasized the Israeli angle in that 9/11 truth movement are seeing at least a few rewards for efforts. And perhaps this also reflects the fact that more and more Americans, as they begin to see that Benjamin Netanyahu wasn't kidding when he said after 9/11 that this was all very good for Israel, may have had a lot more in mind than anyone was willing to admit in more mainstream circles. And as we look at the very real possibility of an absolute catastrophe in the Middle East leading to a global war that involves this mess that we've gotten ourselves into in our relationship with the Saudis and the Israelis, that involves the mess that we've made in the Middle East with these, what Lieutenant General William Odom told us years ago was the most catastrophic military mistake in American history, to have invaded Iraq, for example. As we look at what we have done to countries like Libya and Syria in supporting this neocon Saudi-Israeli garbage, it perhaps has now occurred to people like Ron Unz, who's a very brilliant guy, obviously, that, gee, we're right on the brink of God knows what in terms of a global conflagration if this stuff isn't stopped. And that perhaps has given renewed emphasis to him, I'm guessing, and to others as well who maybe weren't quite ready to cross that Rubicon yet, that, yes, folks, we've got to take a very serious look at the fact that that Israel was apparently involved up to its eyebrows or higher.
Yeah. And so, you know, we've been talking about, or when I say we, Dr. Duke and I for sure have been talking about, well, Israeli fingerprints, some Israeli foreknowledge. Ron Unz seems to be going even further than that, saying Israeli planning of it. And I think that's very interesting.
Yes.
Going back
good
to
point.
Kosygi.
Excellent.
Yeah. Going back to Kosygi. Or is that Khashoggi?
Khashoggi.
So there had been speculation that why now? Why after all of these years was he liquidated? And that he, as a associate of bin Laden, he may have information about the Israeli role in 9/11. That he was going to come forward with. Now, that's only speculation by somebody, but
it's not unreasonable. In other words, it is speculation. We have no way of knowing whether or not that's true. We're likely never to find out, since it's quite likely that Mr. Khashoggi is dead, sadly enough. But I would not exclude that from the realm of possibility. And the reason I say that is when I look at the consortium news piece that we were reading today, a very fine piece dealing with the possible angle on why the Saudis apparently took this incredibly draconian step of rubbing this guy out in their own consulate in Istanbul. When you look for a reason for doing something that evil and that radical, well, was it really the fact that he had met with this Qatari official in New York? And that bin Salman is simply that far gone from his senses in terms of an overreaction to something like that? Or is there an even more sinister explanation, more radical explanation, that might explain the lengths to which the Saudis went this time to rub somebody like this out, and that is the Saudi and Israeli connection to 9/11? That's been kind of a dual-track argument for the last 17 years. And as you begin to look at the Saudi-Israeli cooperation, in full cooperation in Syria, when you look at the Saudi and Israeli cooperation with what the Saudis are doing in Yemen, when you look at the Saudi and Israeli cooperation and their desire to have the United States attack Iran, how far-fetched is it to postulate the fact that it's a Saudi-Israeli partnership in the 9/11 attacks, and that if Mr. Khashoggi had any inclination of something like that, that may well explain what happened. We'll never know.
Okay, well, we'll be back after the break. Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
National People Radio with Patrick Slattery and Mark Dankoff. And Mark, we only have a few minutes left. Maybe we should switch gears. Maybe we should go over to San Francisco. There's a Jewish organization in San Francisco that is promoting some maybe some organizations that wouldn't be the first to come to mind.
This is a fascinating story when we get into this whole business of the Zionist Network in America and how they finance different groups and front organizations. Take a look at this one, folks. At 972 Magazine, plus 972, a piece by Myrav Zonsine, from October the 10th of this year, saying that the Canary Mission, of course, was getting money from the San Francisco Jewish Federation and an organization called the Helen Diller Family Foundation, which the Jewish Community Federation of San Francisco controls. Now, that's the tip of the iceberg that has come out in the Times of Israel. I believe it's come out in Haaretz and other newspapers in Israel. This Canary Mission, by the way, is a very shadowy website. These are the guys that blacklist and intimidate students and professors who criticize Israel. A lot of stuff out there on the Canary Mission. Google it. But suffice it to say that it now emerges through this Plus 972 magazine and a look at the Federation's tax filings at the Jewish Community Federation of San Francisco and the Helen Diller Family Foundation have a much wider group of interesting organizations that they support. Project Veritas, the AMCHA Initiative, the American Freedom Law Center, the American Freedom Defense Initiative. Here's one for you, folks. The David Horowitz Freedom Center. The work of Islamophobic politician Garrett Wilders through the so-called International Freedom Alliance Foundation. Others include the Clarion Fund, Frank Gaffney's Center for Security Policy, Daniel Pipe's Middle East Forum. Here's one, the Tea Party Patriots Foundation, folks.
Okay, and so a lot of it.
And the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. That's an interesting group. And isn't it interesting? What are San Francisco Jews connected with the San Francisco Jewish Community Federation of San Francisco? What are they doing supporting the Tea Party Patriots Foundation? Does that suggest
that they might control that position? Yeah.
Yeah.
Going in and you're taking over, I mean, what had been a Ron Paul support group, basically, and you take it over and you parachute in people like David Horowitz.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, the Tea Party folks, the Tea Party Patriots Foundation, we have images of people like Ron Paul and secondarily Pat Buchanan, perhaps, when we think of the Tea Party Patriots Foundation. And here, all of this Zionist money in San Francisco is going to these people. We'll have to see if we can't find a figure for the next show.
Okay. Well, I'll look forward to that next show. Thank you very much for coming on.
Always enjoy it, Dr. Flattery, and we'll keep it going with it and keep trying to post some good news stories at nationalbugle.com.
Okay, and I'll be back again tomorrow, maybe with Richard Spencer. We'll see. But I'll be back again with more exciting episodes of National Bugle Radio.
Best to all the good folks at RBN. God bless.
Thanks, Mark. And send money to RBN.
That's it. Send money to RBN.
Many people write about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. My wife and I both use Extendivite and are very pleased with the results. It has helped to stabilize our blood pressure and to make both of us feel healthier. Good product and goodbye. So far, so good. I've been taking Extendivite 3 times a day, only a short while now, but already I've noticed the circulation in my hands and feet improving. They tingle. I like the idea of taking something herbal rather than pills. I take Extendivite 3 times a day every day. I think this supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.